I know that many of you are serving the Lord very faithfully. Thanks be to God. Let me share a true short story with you. One day, many, many years ago, a pastor, I don't know the name, maybe Chen Wei or not, I don't know. The pastor was riding the bus. He gave a bill to the bus driver in exchange for a ticket. The bus driver took the bill and gave him back the change. The pastor and then took the change and walked back to his seat and sit down and count the change. He realized that the bus driver gave him more than he was due. So he gave the extra back to the bus driver and said, "Here is the extra change you gave me." The bus driver replied to this pastor, "Thank you very much, Pastor. I was at your church yesterday when you was preaching on honesty. So I gave you extra money on purpose to see whether you live what you preach. Well, truly, you are an honest man. Praise the Lord." Dear brothers and sisters, honesty or faithfulness is an essential character for Christian. If you are faithful to God, you will experience God's faithfulness to you. Today, let's take a look at Joseph's life and think about how Joseph served God faithfully and also how God blessed Joseph. I hope that Joseph's faithfulness to God and God's faithfulness to Joseph will promote us toward to become the more faithful Christians. Today, we are going to share, be faithful to God, for God is faithful. Be faithful to God, for God is faithful. Please open your Bible and let's read Genesis 37, 3 to 4. Genesis 37, 3 to 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. This is God's word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are an awesome and faithful God. Please empower your servant to share your word faithfully. May all your children be blessed through your word. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Today we are going to look to Joseph's life from two perspectives. Joseph tried. Joseph was faithful to God. And Joseph triumphed. God is faithful. Let's begin with Joseph's trial. Joseph was faithful to God. Joseph was faithful despite being sold as a slave. Joseph was faithful despite being sold as a slave. Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. Why? Because Joseph's mother was Rachel, whom his father loved the most. Jacob has two wives and two concubines. Jacob's true love was belong to Rachel. To marry Rachel, Jacob labored for Laban, for his father-in-law for 14 years. Kids normally are not interested in why the parents show favoritism, but children, they are all detested of such behavior. Joseph was target and victim of his father's favoritism. Jacob's favoritism toward Joseph did not lead to blessings, but only misfortune and disaster. In Genesis chapter 37, 5 to 8. Now Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bow down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to lay over us Or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hate him even more for his dream and for his words. Joseph, Jacob's favorite son, was wearing a colorful robe. We cannot say that he is arrogant, but at least he is confident, maybe a little bit too much. He dreamed and told his brothers about it, saying, I dreamed that one day you will bow before me. You will bow to me. Then he dreamed another dream and told his brothers, Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. Joseph's brother hated him even more. One day, Joseph's brother went to pasture their father's flock and not return. So Jacob sent Joseph to see if it is well with his brothers and if it is well with the flock. Joseph listened to his father and went after to look for his brothers. He saw them from far away in a place called Dothan. His brother also saw him. They said to one another, Here comes the dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into the pit. Then we will say that a fish animal was devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dream. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors he had, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Later, his brothers decided not to kill him, but instead to sell him as a slave. Whether Joseph will survive or die, they just don't care. Then midnight traders passed by. They drew Joseph up from the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. So what did his brothers tell their father after selling Joseph? Then they took Joseph's robe and slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. And they sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not. And he identified it and said, It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. Let's put Jacob's story aside and see how Joseph was doing in Egypt. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of the Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hand. Why was God with Joseph? First, it is because of God's grace. Second, Joseph was faithful to God. Joseph was faithful to God. Joseph did not give up on himself because he was sold into slavery. He continued to be faithful to God and to his master. As a result, God was with him. Joseph's work ethic and his effectiveness demonstrate his faithfulness and the fact that God was with him. Therefore, Joseph was promoted to be the overseer of the house. He was promoted to take charge of everything in the house. Michelangelo was a master artist in the Middle Ages. Once, a person saw that Michelangelo was painting very meticulously on the ceiling of the Chapel of Sistine. And the people asked Michelangelo, Why you painting so carefully? Why you painting so meticulously? Nobody can see any detail from so far away. Why you paint so carefully? Why you paint so meticulously? Nobody can see such a detail. But Michelangelo say, God can see. God can see. Michelangelo, he paid for God. Therefore, he paid very carefully. He paid with meticulously. He paid for the law. Therefore, he paid very diligently, paid very faithfully. Dear brothers and sisters, many of us have jobs. Are we working for a salary or are we working for God? Can we demonstrate our faithfulness to God at work? I hope we can all testify for God at work that we are faithful Christians. We can demonstrate with our work that we are faithful Christians. Some of us are sisters or stay-home moms. They take great care of their family and are faithful Christians. Some of us already retired, and some of them volunteer to help others or to work or serve in the church. They demonstrate their faithfulness by being diligent and responsible and being recommended, complimented by others because of their work. Because no matter what they do, no matter where they are working, they work for the law, they do for the law, they show their faithfulness, and God get the glory. I hope that we can all demonstrate that we are faithful Christians, we are faithful servants of the Lord, regardless of where we are and what we are doing. May our work glorify our Lord. May our Lord show our faithfulness to God and to man. May our Lord be glorified. Joseph was faithful to God. First, Joseph was faithful despite being sold as a slave. Second, Joseph was faithful when facing temptation. Joseph was faithful when facing temptation. Joseph was a God-fearing young man. He was well-built and handsome. Potiphar's wife was attracted to him and attempted to seduce him while her husband was not at home. The Bible tells us, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me, lie with me, come to bed with me, come to bed with me. I think Potiphar's wife was likely beautiful and maybe in some water flirtatious. Dear brothers, if you were Joseph, what would you have done? Dear brothers, if you were Joseph, what would you have done? What would you have think? Praise the Lord. She's so beautiful and is for free. Don't laugh, you should cry. How did Joseph respond? Joseph refused and said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? When facing temptation, Joseph's first thought was that he shall not sin against God. Our problem is that we often are more afraid of sinning against the people than against God. Our problem is we often more afraid of sinning against the people than sinning against God. This is our biggest problem. But Potiphar's wife would not stop. She spoke to Joseph day after day, but Joseph refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. But one day when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me, lie with me, go to bed with me. But Joseph left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. There is a saying something like this. The wrath of a rejected woman is even stronger than the fire of hell. After being rejected many times, Potiphar's wife struck back and accused Joseph of sexual harassment. Upon her husband come home, she told Potiphar, "The Hebrew slave that you bought harassed me because I am so beautiful. He lusted after me. Honey, he even took off his garment. I was only able to scare him away by screaming with my life. Look, his garment is still here. Honey, you must avenge me." So Potiphar was furious and threw Joseph into prison. It is not easy to be faithful to God. It is not easy to be faithful to God. 3 years ago, Bill Hybels, the founder and senior pastor of Willow Creek, a mega church in Chicago, he was accused of sexual harassment and resigned. This is a very sad yet true story. Dear brothers and sisters, this generation is filled with temptations. This generation is filled with pornography, all kinds of temptations. And California is a state full of temptations. Dear brothers and sisters, are you facing temptations? Dear brothers and sisters, are you facing temptations? Nobody say yes. Hallelujah. Dear brothers and sisters, are you facing temptations? Are we faithful to God? Are we faithful to God? Are we faithful when using internet? Are we faithful when using the computer? Are you faithful when using the YouTube? Are you faithful when using Google? Are you faithful when go to the Amazon, buying things, everything? Are you faithful? Are we faithful? Do we show our faithfulness like Joseph when facing temptation? We need to repent, dear brothers and sisters. We all need to repent. Help us to become more faithful Christian. May the Lord help us to be more faithful. Joseph demonstrated his faithfulness to God in many or in every aspect of his life. Joseph demonstrated his faithfulness to God in every aspect of his life. First, Joseph was faithful despite being sold as a slave. Joseph was faithful when facing temptation. Third, Joseph was faithful in prison. Joseph was faithful in prison. What happened when Joseph was in prison? The Bible tells us, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the law was with him, and whatever he did, the law made it succeed." From this passage, we can see that Joseph was faithful, applying God's given gift and not complaining while he was in prison. He helped the prisoner. He helped the prison keeper with overseeing the prison and was promoted to in charge. Even though Joseph don't have the title, he is the master. He is the one take charge of the prison. Not long later, the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh offend Pharaoh and were thrown into the same prison where Joseph was confined. And one night they both dreamed. And when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So Joseph asked them, "Why are you face downcast today?" They said to them, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossom shot forth, and the cluster ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Joseph interpreted the dream for the cup bearer and told him that he would be restored to office in 3 days. Then Joseph asked the cupbearer in favor. So Joseph asked the cupbearer a favor. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. When the baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation to the cupbearer, he told Joseph about his own dream and asked him for an interpretation. Joseph told him, "In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the boar will eat flesh from you." On the third day, it was Pharaoh's birthday, and Pharaoh made a feast for all his servants. He restored the chief cupbearers to his position, and he prayed. And the cupbearer placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But Pharaoh hand the chief baker, as Joseph have interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. How could the cupbearer forgot Joseph after seeing firsthand that Joseph's interpretation of the dreams came true, and that the baker that he restored to his position, but the baker was hanged just as Joseph said? How astounding, how astounding. How can he forget such a person? The Bible said that the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. In my opinion, the cupbearer did not truly forget Joseph, but instead he did not want to mention Joseph to Pharaoh for some reason when he was lifted up from prison. Joseph was probably sitting in prison every day expecting that the cupbearer have say nice things to Pharaoh talking about his case, and he's expecting someone to set him free. Sadly, days, weeks, months went by and nobody came for him. Eventually, Joseph had to accept the truth that the cupbearer have forget him. So some people might regard the cupbearer as ungrateful or inhumane. However, God has his own timing and his perfect plan. God has his own timing and his perfect plan. Man may forget, God never forgets. Man may forget, God never forgets. God's will be carried out even when men stumble and fall. God prepared a special plan for Joseph. He did not rescue Joseph in a way that makes sense to us, because he want to deepen and broaden Joseph's life. If Joseph was released from prison simply because the cupbearer say something to Pharaoh, then it would be far away from God's plan. It will be far away from God's grand plan. The belated blessing is part of God's plan. The belated blessing is part of God's plan. Next, let's look at Joseph's triumph. God is faithful. Joseph's triumph. God is faithful. This is how Joseph became Egypt's prime minister. 2 years later, Pharaoh had two dreams. In the first dream, he saw seven ugly and thin cows, ate up seven attractive and plump cows. In the second dream, he saw seven heads of thin grain to eat up seven heads of plump grain. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt. And all his wise men, the Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with his own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream and as he interpreted to us. So it came about, I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it says that when you heard a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had two dreams. In the first dream, I saw seven ugly and thin cows eat up seven attractive and plump cows. In the second dream, I saw seven heads of thin grain to eat up seven heads of plum grain. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God had revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 good years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 good years. The dream are one. The dreams are one. The seven ugly cows are 7 famine years, and so are the 7 heads of empty grain. It is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty through all the land of Egypt, but after then, there will raise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown to the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man, and let him and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land, and take one fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. Their food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God? So Pharaoh said to all his servants, can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regard to the throng will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Praise the Lord. We see from the scripture above that God turned Joseph's life around and transformed Joseph from prisoner to prime minister. God transformed Joseph from a prisoner to the prime minister of Egypt. How wonderful is God's work. It is remarkable that Joseph praised God before Pharaoh, even in the first time he met Pharaoh. He praised God many, many times. Joseph said, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. The dream of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God. And God will shortly bring it about. Joseph always thinking about God. Always mention God's name from the bottom of his heart. In the short exchange between Joseph and Pharaoh, Joseph mentioned the word of God many, many, many times, which shows that Joseph's thoughts are full of God. So much so that he could not help but mentioning God subconsciously. Dear brothers and sisters, what do you like to mention when you converse with other people, when you're talking with other people? What do you mention the most in your conversations? What is on your mind the most? May we often think Jesus' grace, authority. May we often think God's grace, God's authority, God's mercy, and his wonderful works, so that we may reflect God's image in our conversations. Joseph boldly testified for God in front of Pharaoh, in front of Pharaoh's generals, in front of Pharaoh's scribes, magicians, and wise men. May we testify for God boldly and wisely among our co-workers, among our friends, among our family members. We will face many obstacles and difficulties in our lives. However, dear brothers and sisters, I hope we remember this. If you remain faithful to God, you will see God's faithful. If you remain faithful to God, you will see God's faithfulness. Joseph was always faithful to God. Joseph demonstrated his faithfulness to God in all aspects of his life. He was faithful to God despite being sold as a slave. He was faithful when facing temptation. He was faithful when he was in prison. Joseph was faithful to God in all things. And we also see that God is faithful to Joseph. God was with Joseph through his slavery and imprisonment. Joseph succeeded in all things because God was with him. Even though Joseph was forgotten by the cupbearer, God never forget Joseph. God promoted Joseph and gave him triumph at the best time. Had Joseph been released from prison 2 years earlier, he would not have been able to stay at Potiphar's house because of Potiphar's wife's desire plus hatred toward Joseph. When Pharaoh needed someone to interpret a dream, the cupbearer maybe can think of Joseph, maybe can remember Joseph, but Joseph would not be able to fight. It would be hard to fight Joseph if Joseph had been released earlier. You couldn't simply call him or show him a message, a WeChat, or whatever, or Facebook. You can never fight him because he have already been sold to another master. You cannot fight him. Had Joseph been released early, it would be impossible for Pharaoh to fight Joseph later. Praise the Lord. God's will is good even when he sent you to jail. God's will is good even when he sent you to a jail. Dear brothers and sisters, you will see God's faithfulness if you are faithful to God. You will see God's faithfulness if you are faithful to God. We should believe the 2 years in prison greatly mold Joseph. These 2 years greatly mold Joseph's character and ability. Potiphar is the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. In the prison of Potiphar's prison, there are many prisoners, are not ordinary prisoners. They are politicians. They are political prisoners. Joseph must have learned a lot about Egyptian politics and bureaucracy during his imprisonment. Of course, it is not to say that Joseph became as sly as a fox. It is that Joseph was trained to be wiser and more mature. Joseph's nature was not afraid of being offensive or blunt as a young man. Joseph is very honestly, right? Very honest, too honestly, very, very, very blunt. However, he would have gotten himself into trouble had he not learned his lesson in prison. He would likely offend many Egyptian loyal and end up in even worse situation than when he was sold as a slave by his brothers. Joseph was as innocent as those, but had God not mold him and trade him, he would have lacked shrewdness as serpents. Surviving in Egypt, in Egyptian court, required Joseph to be as shrewd as a serpent. Therefore, God designed such a unique course. God designed such a unique course for Joseph to teach him these lessons. We may think it is cruel of God to allow such tragic events to happen to Joseph's life. However, when you ponder Joseph's life with a trusting heart, you will praise the Lord. When you ponder Joseph's life with a trusting heart, you will praise God. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. Sometimes we think that God will be present and God will guide us by dictating every single direction and action in our lives. In fact, God seldom does this, only on the rare occasions. For example, when God clearly showed Joseph how to interpret dreams. But most of the time, God wants to train us to become mature and to be like him so that we can walk, we can serve, and we can serve the Lord with godly wisdom and principles. For this reason, God often uses various situations and circumstances, even difficulties, to change us, to build us, to mold us. Joseph was promoted to prime minister because he accepted and overcome the trials. Despite being sold into slavery by his brothers, he remained faithful to God. Therefore, God was with him and made him succeed in everything. Joseph attained such success because he was faithful and resisted temptations. Had Joseph succumbed to lust, he would not have been promoted or used by God to save thousands upon thousands from famine, or to rescue and unite his father's family. He would have been punished and died when his sin was exposed, even and never even come close to become a blessing and a role model for people today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God knows those who love him. God knows those who love him, and God is gracious to those who love him. When we ponder Joseph's life, we find that his life bears many similarities with that of Jesus. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. Jesus was betrayed by Judas and nailed on the cross. Joseph was tempted but triumphed. So did Jesus. Joseph was imprisoned. Jesus was buried. Joseph rose from prison to become prime minister. He saved many lives from famine. Jesus rose from the grave to heaven, sat at the right hand of God Almighty, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Dear brothers and sisters, the life of a Christian is the life of the cross. The life of a Christian is the life of the cross. To be humble and then lifted up. To suffer and then be glorified. To battle for God and then enjoy peace with the Lord. We may never become prime minister in this world, but we can always be faithful to God. When that time comes, the Lord will say to you, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." If we are faithful to God, when that day comes, God will say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant." Dear brothers and sisters, are you faithful or not faithful? What is the difference of faithful servants and unfaithful servants? If we are not faithful, when that day comes, Jesus also will ask you, "Well, what have you done?" Not "Well, well done." "Well, what have you done?" God will ask us. We want to listen, "Well done." God will say, "Well done. Now come and enjoy with your master." Praise the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, let us all have a moment of reflection before the Lord.